There's different types of keto diets. It's not like you're removing carbs entirely, but there are certain people that can literally go with just high protein and high fat, and that would be impossible for me. I've tried doing it and it's not sustainable. The vegan diet makes sense, but I think those are the people that actually eat the superfoods, the proper foods that you should eat when you're a vegan.
Fruit juice is like the least helpful form of fruit because you take out all the fiber, you keep all the sugar, and so all you're doing is spiking your glucose with straight lining sugar from this juice, and then you do that for 2 or 3 days, and then it doesn't make sense to me. There's no fiber, it's just straight sugar.
I'm excited for this episode.
Me too.
And I want to start off with a quote that is everything to me. Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. Because the food we put in our body, not only is it going to prevent us from getting diseases, but it can cure things. And people have this misconception that eating healthy all the time is following a diet, when the reality is these are the foods that were meant for our body, for us to feel our best, to feel energetic, to look good. And people can tell from the outside, your body is a representation of what's going on in the inside. And the external world knows what you're putting in your body because it shows up. You manifest it with how you look when you're putting that food in your body. And I think it's important that we go over diets that we've done.
Yes.
And we also need to get rid of this connotation that we have to diet, because diet essentially means a lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle. It's not, I think we've turned it into this toxic word where it's like we're restricting ourselves. A diet is just a healthy lifestyle, things that make you, like it can be sports that you do, foods that you eat, but it is a lifestyle. So we need to go over lifestyles, diets that we have tested out for the past 10 years.
Let's do it. Yeah, I think, and going back to the quote you said at the beginning, I think most of modern medicine today is just a counter to bad food. That's not what our bodies are meant to eat. A lot of people, I think, try to solve issues with medicine when food is the real cause. And so food is what should change in order to heal it.
But then if they don't have sick people, they don't have customers anymore.
Exactly.
So that's why we need to be strong and we need to flip the script and be our healthiest. Mm-hmm. So one, we're not giving them money. And two, we learn what makes us feel good so we can thrive in life. Let's start with this, Sylvia. What was the first diet you ever tried and what drew you to it?
The first real diet I ever did was going vegan. And I know that's probably like a dramatic first diet, but I read this book that was all about digestion and how meat and dairy products are so difficult for your body to digest, etc. So I was actually vegan for 3 years.
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy because you eat so much meat.
I know. So it was an interesting experience. I think the good part of it was it taught me that I can stick with something, that it was a lifestyle for me at the time. But I am no longer vegan for a reason. And the reason is that it didn't serve me. It very quickly really started to make me feel tired, make me feel really constricted, make me feel like I wasn't getting enough protein at the time, for sure. And people are always like, you can absolutely get enough protein on a vegan diet. You can, but you have to try really hard and you end up eating a lot of fake protein and not real protein. And so I'd say overall that was, you know, a great learning experience, but wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, and I feel like the meals for, if you're vegan, they just take so long to make. Like, I feel like you would have to be in the kitchen 24/7. Do you feel like you were cooking all the time?
I was cooking all the time. And then you have to eat so much food to get enough calories. And so I was definitely like way calorie deficit as well when I was eating vegan. And yeah, it's a lot of work.
How were you hitting your protein goal?
I wasn't.
Did you have a fitness goal at the time, or were you just trying to be skinny?
I was just trying to feel energetic. Okay. More than anything. So I didn't really have a protein goal.
It did the complete opposite.
It did the opposite. I'd say for the first maybe few weeks, I did feel more energetic. So I think it can be, maybe if you did it for a week or something just to clear out your body, sure, could be interesting. But I think the energy gains I had in the beginning quickly went away, and it became like, there were days where I just felt like I couldn't get out of bed because I was so tired. And I also felt like my skin wasn't wasn't as good. Like, I wasn't getting enough protein was maybe part of it. But even things like you get from meat, like collagen, I probably wasn't getting enough of that. I definitely wasn't getting enough iron. And so I was probably deficient in many vitamins and minerals at the time.
Yeah, and also eating protein, like chewing on meat, it helps structure your cheekbones.
Wow.
And like it makes, yeah, because you're chewing and you're making your jaw stronger. So it actually changes the form of your face. And a lot of people don't know that, but it actually really helps with that too, to make that snatch jawline.
I can see that.
I get girls on the app that always ask me like, hey, I'm vegan. It's so hard for me to meet my protein goal. Like, I don't know what type of protein I can eat besides beans and tofu, which tofu too is very processed.
Very processed. Tons of soy. It's, yeah, would not. I mean, fine every now and then, but I was eating a lot of fake meats, which is just like, no, those are so processed. And you can feel it when you eat them too. Sometimes when you eat vegan meat or vegan cheese, you feel like you're eating plastic and your body is like, no, this is not good. That's how it feels for me, at least.
I have a lot of thoughts around the whole vegan diet. I honestly think it's propaganda to get the consumers to eat more of these highly engineered foods that are like Impossible Burger, for example. Because I also heard people can think this is me having my conspiracy theory. I like to question things a lot. But I've also heard a lot of the documentaries that came out on Netflix around being vegan, how it's great for you. These are all funded by brands like Impossible Burger. And then you go and question, okay, why are they trying to push this agenda so much? Because at the end of the day, it's like a lot of people that I know are vegan, they don't look the healthiest. They also look overweight, because most of they think, oh, I'm vegan, I'm gonna go to the supermarket and buy whatever has a little slap on it that says like vegan. And they're all processed food. They're literally like 99% of the foods that you find prepackaged in the supermarket are processed.
Yes.
So it's like, how is that beneficial to you?
They're processed, they're pretty expensive actually. Yeah. So it makes sense. It's like, who's making money off of this? And those companies definitely are, and they can charge a premium because people think vegan equals healthy, and that is absolutely not true. A lot of them are super processed, super fake, and just don't mesh well with your body. They really don't.
So then that's when I also question a lot of these athletes that claim that they're vegan. I wonder if they're really on this vegan diet. But you know, everyone's body's different. There are a lot of people that can't eat red meat and can't eat certain type of protein. So I get it. The vegan diet makes sense. But I think those are the people that actually eat the superfoods, the proper foods that you should eat when you're vegan, not these prepackaged, highly engineered processed foods that are just not good for you. And you're going to notice a big difference, because a lot of these people that I know that are vegan, they're overweight.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Oreos are vegan. So.
Oh my God, when I saw that, I swear, going to the supermarkets, that's why I just want to order my food at home, because I hate going to the supermarket and I have to see all this garbage around me.
It's so bad. It's so bad. And I mean, if I was watching this at the time when I was vegan as well, it would probably bother me. And I'd be like, no, this is right. But truly, it was just like my own experience eating that diet. It did not serve me.
And unfortunately, any girl that comes on my app and asks me, is it okay to be vegan while doing this? Am I going to get results? I'm just blunt and honest about it. For the results that they want, which is building lots of muscle and changing your body composition, it's very, very difficult.
It is. It really, really is. And you can try your best. Peas, quinoa, tofu, fake meats, you know, all these things you can, you know, beans, whatever. It's like the percent of protein in those things, sure, it might be higher compared to other plants, but it's still not nearly as much protein as meat. And it's going to be incredibly difficult to hit, you know, 70, 80, 100 grams of protein a day.
Did you feel really bloated while you were vegan?
A little bit. I think what I felt more was I did not look my best. And this was at a time too when I was cycling a lot. And so I would cycle and go to a cycling class, burn 500 calories every single day. And then I would be ravenously hungry. I wasn't losing weight. I wasn't building muscle. I was just this kind of like skinny fat in between that was just not my best.
Vegan and cardio. recipe for disaster.
It was not the path.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
What about you? What was your first diet?
No, my first diet was, I couldn't pin a name for it just because I wasn't sure of what I was doing, but it was definitely the keto diet, because I remember removing carbs
Removing carbs completely or almost completely?
I just remember pasta, pizza, rice. It wasn't making me feel good. And I thought, okay, let me remove this. I didn't do a lot of research about diets in the past, but I just remember I was kind of being more intuitive with it. Mm-hmm. And I remember removing simple carbs and complex carbs. So yeah, I was sticking mainly to protein, high fat, and vegetables. I had vegetables here and there. And I remember just feeling so amazing, light in the morning, not as bloated as I usually was. So I would definitely say that keto was one of my first diets. Not the full-blown keto diet, but if I had to pin a word for it, it would have been the keto diet.
And how was it?
Amazing. I still practice it to this day. There's different types of keto diets. It's not like you're removing carbs entirely, but I still have carbs up to this day. But there are certain people that can literally go with just high protein and high fat, and that would be impossible for me. I've tried doing it and it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I still throw in complex carbs here and there, but overall I'm on a keto diet and I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. And I don't miss eating the pizza and the pasta. So that makes me bloated constantly.
Yep.
So that works best for me. And I'm still practicing it till this day.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, your first diet was much better than mine.
I've never gone down the vegan path. And I swear I would rather die than give up my meat. Like a lot of people ask me, have you ever tried vegan? Do you want to go vegan? I think I tried it with Colin one day. Literally, we lasted 24 hours. We're like, should we do vegan? Let's just try it out. We kind of gave into peer pressure. It was trending. Let's try this diet.
Yeah.
I didn't last more than 8 hours. I was like, nope, I need my fish. I need my meat. Yeah. I need my chicken.
You're better off.
And you lasted 3 years, woman. I can't believe that.
Yep. The documentaries got me.
Those freaking documentaries. Okay. Sylvia. So what instead is a diet? What diet are you currently on?
I can't really pin a name on it either, but I'd say the diet I'm currently on is a mixture of low FODMAP, Mediterranean.
Low FOB what?
FODMAP.
What is that?
So FODMAP is, I actually don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's essentially like low, removing inflammatory foods.
Okay.
And so that's a big thing that I've been working on recently when I started working with a nutritionist and she recommended removing all these inflammatory foods. And I was like, oh, is this kind of like low FODMAP? And she was like, yeah, kind of. So it's kind of low FODMAP. So I cut out things like bell peppers, tomatoes, onions, garlic, for example, tend to be very inflammatory.
What?
And so I don't use them anymore.
This is something new to me, guys. I'm learning something new today.
And so low FODMAP, and then Mediterranean is just, you know, it's kind of a twist of that, but I try to eat a lot of meats that are ideally on the bone, but tend to be the more fattier meats, a lot of fish. And so like fattier meats and fish is where I tend to get my protein from. And then just lots of vegetables. I will have carbs. I will have usually quinoa is like the carb that I choose because it's very high in fiber. And then sometimes I'll have rice, but generally it's like sweet potatoes, quinoa, like that type of carb. And then I do try to hit it. I have a fiber goal, which is 35 grams of fiber a day. So I try to hit that every day as well.
Okay.
And that's been just incredible for mental clarity, digestion, skin. It just really helps remove all the impurities from your body. And yeah, just you feel clear and your skin and hair, it's good for all of that kind of thing. So I'd say some kind of combination of those things.
Yeah, your skin is super clear and mine is not. And that's what I've been trying to understand what I'm doing wrong because I eat super healthy. And
you do.
Don't get me wrong. Like I slip off here and there and it's not even slipping off. It's just if I want to go out and eat and have something that it doesn't usually fit the normal diet that I have throughout the week, I'm okay with it. But I have noticed that regardless of how healthy I'm eating, my face is breaking out. And this goes back to what we were saying yesterday. It's like, okay, it might be the dairy. I might have to cut out cheese, but I don't want to cut out cheese because I love it so damn much. But I started today. I said, okay, no dairy for a week and just see how my skin reacts to
we
that.
We should check in like a month from now and see how it went. I've been doing dairy for 2 months and I've noticed a difference in my skin.
But your face has always been super clear.
Yeah, I felt like dairy, I think partly was the skin. I feel like my skin is slightly improved. Like just it's smoother and a little bit, I don't know, it feels more glowy than before. And then I have also noticed bloating. It's very, very helpful for not bloating if you cut out dairy. So that's what I've noticed. But honestly, hasn't been a huge difference.
Yeah.
But I think if I was having skin issues, that is probably the first thing that I would do.
Well, I started today. Let's see how long that lasts. No, I'm going to be committed to it. And you're right. I shouldn't do 1 week. I feel like in 1 week, you can't really notice a difference.
Yeah.
If anything, in 1 week, I might, my body will have withdrawals. And if anything, I'll experience even more of a breakout.
Yeah.
So I will test it out for 3 weeks. How about that?
I think 6 weeks. Because I think sometimes when you start a new diet, and this can be the case for whether you cut out something, whether you start adding something in, sometimes your skin and your body will just be purging. And your skin can actually break out as a result of it. And then think, oh, this is bad for me. But really, it's just finally clearing everything so that it can be healthy again.
That's
so,
like when you're removing sugar, too. Mm-hmm. The first week is the worst headaches because of you're removing something that you were constantly putting in your body and your doesn't know how to manage it. So you have the worst headaches. And then that's when people usually go back to it because they're like, I can't sleep at night. I can't think properly. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
And then they just go back to what they were doing. But you need to give it some time. Sugar, luckily, is a week. I didn't know dairy would be more than 3-4 weeks. But okay, I'll test it out.
We'll see.
And my diet is very similar to yours. I stick with having 2 to 3 times per week beef, chicken twice a week, salmon once a week, and getting all my vitamins, all my essential nutrients. Whenever I'm not sticking to those type of proteins and I'm not getting my daily vegetable intake, I'll take some supplements. But whenever I am eating properly and I know I'm hitting everything, my right macros, I won't take my supplements daily because it's just, I feel like I'm overdoing it with how many vitamins I need and I'm gonna flush it out eventually. So whenever I'm missing those essential nutrients, I will take my vitamins. And then when it comes to complex carbs like you, I love sweet potato. Mm-hmm. Quinoa, I don't really eat it that much. I don't know, I'm not drawn to it. I like to throw it in a salad, but it's not something that I crave.
I never used to eat it before, but it is very high in fiber. So I started eating it instead of, you know, another carb. And it's just nice to be able to mix it up. I think variety is important. So, you know, if you have sweet potatoes every single day.
Every day.
Sometimes it's nice to switch it up.
I am the most boring person when it comes to food, but they taste well and I don't get bored of it. And yeah, it works for me.
Do you have specific macro goals that you're trying to hit?
Not at the moment. I do whenever I know I have like a specific fitness goal. Like, for example, 2 months ago, I remember I was like, I want to increase my glutes. Mm-hmm. So I remember being super on point with my macros. So my split is usually 45 to 50% protein and then 35 fats. And it's like 15, 20 with my carbs. It depends. It varies. But that's usually my split. That's my, I'm in maintenance almost all year. Like I have the same split. And now I've weighed my food so much that I know exactly what my portion should look like.
Right.
I know when I need that extra meal because I might not see an increase in my muscle. So I know when to add more and remove more, especially with the carbs. I know when I'm eating too many carbs, I'm like, okay, this is not okay. I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
My energy levels drop.
I think this is just a good example too of how everyone's bodies are a little bit different. I have a higher carb split. So right now, and I measure mine in grams. So I usually try to hit 100 grams of protein, about 100 grams of carbs, and then about 90-ish grams of fat. And so I've specifically kind of increased actually the carbs and the fat because I've found that it just helps my body feel more balanced. If I'm trying to really like trim or cut or, you know, really focusing on building muscle, then I'll increase the protein percentage and then decrease the other two. But I try to keep the fat and the protein high, and the carb is kind of like a filler that can flex with it. But I don't find if I eat 100 grams of carbs, then I don't see any negative benefits from that.
I already know my macro split's going to change 3 months from now because I'm going to be training for my marathon. And I right now, I probably don't consume more than 70 grams of carbs per day. I'm probably going to be consuming 250 grams.
Wow.
If not more.
Yep.
Because I'm going to be running a lot. But you're right. Everyone's body is different. For example, one of our other roommates, she needs so many carbs in her diet. Kay. Kay needed a lot of carbs. Like she was eating carbs nonstop. And she said that was the only way she could get shredded is if she was eating more carbs.
Which seems so backwards to me.
I know. It seems so backwards, but it's like everyone's body is different. And that's why I always hate sharing my calorie intake and my macro split. I share it now because, okay, this is my diet. This is exactly like the amount of grams I eat for my protein, for my fats and my carbs. But I don't want people to think that just because I'm hitting those macros macros, yeah. you should be hitting it as well.
Right. Or if you hit those, then you're going to look exactly like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the case. Yeah.
It does not work like that.
Yeah.
I wish I could eat more carbs though sometimes. They just don't make me feel good. They taste good. They don't make me feel good.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it.
I find they give me quite a bit of energy. Like if I know I'm going to do a big workout the next day, obviously I'll hit the protein goal, but I'll also increase the carbs a little bit as well. And then I find I have more energy during the workout.
Yeah. The carbs definitely help with the energy, but you need to have it like a few hours before your workout. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's usually like the night before and then I work out first thing the next morning.
Yeah. Same. Okay. Sylvia, this is my favorite. What is the weirdest diet trend you've ever experimented with?
So the weirdest diet, it's not a trend. It's just a really weird diet.
Okay.
But the weirdest diet I've ever done was essentially no carbs. So I guess you could call it keto.
Okay.
But it was basically exclusively Trader Joe's salads. And I used to eat this for like a year.
The prepackaged ones?
Yeah. Okay. So Trader Joe's, they have these prepackaged salads. This is when I was early in my career. I wasn't making that much money. These salads are like $3 each. At least they were at the time. And so I would just go on Monday, I'd buy a giant bag of them, and then I'd usually go again halfway through the week. But yeah, I exclusively survived on Trader Joe's salads.
What was inside the salad though? Just like lettuce with some like eggs?
I would go to every salad and I would only choose the ones that had no carbs or very low carbs and low fat and low calories.
You're probably not even hitting 900 calories.
No, probably not.
Well, you were having one of these a day?
No, I was probably having two a day or maybe three a day. But it was just, that was the exclusive ingredient in my diet was Trader Joe's.
How did you feel while you were eating these salads?
Terrible.
So this wasn't when you were vegan?
No, this was not when I was vegan because a lot of the salads have chicken in them. And so this was pre-vegan. But yeah, it was probably at least a year of almost exclusively Trader Joe's salads.
Oh my God. That sounds horrible.
I was surviving much more than thriving for sure this time.
I love salads, but my salads now have so much in it that it's not even considered a salad anymore. It's like, yeah, there's lettuce in it, but it's not considered a salad. Yeah, like, I don't know how you did that. I would
die. I don't go to Trader Joe's that often, but when I do, I have major PTSD when I walk down like the salad aisle.
And those salads probably cost like $10 now.
Probably.
Okay, I'm looking. I'm on my phone real quick because I need to find the exact day one to day seven of what this diet that I've tried entails. I needed to drop 10 pounds.
Wow. In a week?
Yes. I can still drop 10 pounds in a week now, but I can do it in the healthy way that is not making me then want to binge and go crazy.
Yeah.
I needed to drop 10 pounds. For this pool party. It was in high school. This was high school, okay?
So you didn't need to drop 10 pounds. You just wanted...
I wanted to drop 10 pounds because I thought if I dropped those 10 pounds, I would look my best for this pool party.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me find the damn diet that I'm going to tell you about. I don't know if anyone has heard of this. I don't know if you've heard of this, but have you heard of the cabbage soup diet?
No, but that sounds terrible.
Please wait. I need to find the exact recipe.
Wow.
Because it's not even a recipe. It's like the basic cabbage soup has cabbage, white onion, water, more water, carrot, I think some garlic in it. So it's a basic cabbage soup, okay?
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not just the cabbage soup that you're eating because there's a specific way to follow this diet from day one to day seven. Okay, this is the cabbage soup diet. So I don't recommend anyone to do this, okay? This is not sustainable. It is terrible. You're going to hate your life. I was miserable I lasted 5 days. So I made it to day five, but, and I did lose the time. I don't know if I should be saying this, but. Okay, so day one, eat low sugar fruits, only avocado, grapes, which is so weird to me.
Grapes is super high sugar.
I know. I'm telling you, this thing is fucking weird. Honeydew melon, oranges.
Also super high sugar.
Yeah. Berries, cherries, don't eat bananas. So basically you can have as much fruit as you want and as much cabbage soup as you want. For day one. Day two, eat non-starch vegetables, only cauliflower, broccoli, peppers, tomatoes, and leafy greens. And as much cabbage soup as you want. So just vegetables and cabbage soup for day two. Day three, eat low sugar fruits and non-starchy vegetables only. So.
Okay, so it's building on itself.
Yeah, but then the only thing that now confuses me is that it says eat low sugar fruits for day one and it's giving all of the fruits that are so high in sugar.
Exactly.
Like you cannot tell me that grapes are low in sugar. You cannot tell me that cherries are low in sugar.
Like grapes, when I was wearing the continuous glucose monitor and I was tracking my glucose spikes, which is caused by sugar and carbs. When I would eat grapes, major spike. Grapes are very high in sugar.
I think there's like 10 grams of sugar in one grape. Like seriously, I'm not even kidding. I need to look that up.
Day 4, eat bananas and skim milk, low fat yogurt only.
But the eat bananas, from what I remember, this is very vague. It's saying eat bananas. When I had the proper cabbage soup diet, it literally said I can eat as many bananas as I wanted to.
That can't be good either. Bananas are pretty carby and sugary, right?
I followed this and it worked. But I'm not, please, if you want to lose 10 pounds in a week, I will give you the advice on how to do this. Do not do the cabbage soup diet. I do not recommend it. You're going to gain all the weight back. The way I do it, you keep it off. Do not do this. Day 5, finally, eat protein, fish, beef, skinless chicken.
Day 5 is the first protein?
Yeah, and tomatoes only. Day 6, eat protein and non-starchy vegetables. Day 7, half a cup of brown rice or small baked potato, unsweetened fruit juice, low sugar fruits, and non-starchy vegetables. And then it says at the bottom, eat as much cabbage soup as you want and drink 8 cups of water daily. There's no way I was drinking 8 cups of water with that damn cabbage soup. Right. There was just so much water in it. But isn't this crazy? It's literally spiking. Yeah. Like, it's unheard of. Right. Now that I'm reading it again, it just doesn't make sense to me.
And also, so like, cabbage is very high in insoluble fiber, and so is cauliflower, and so are certain greens like kale. And tomatoes are somewhat, they kind of cause bloating.
Yeah, as like well. You said, it's inflammatory.
So it's like, maybe you lose 10 pounds, but do you remember being bloated? Because with all that fiber, like if you start eating a ton of fiber, especially insoluble fiber like that, I feel like it would make you bloated.
I remember losing the 10 pounds and I don't remember feeling bloated with you, to be honest. And even That's when it crazy. Said, eat as many bananas as you want, I think I could only eat 2 and I was over it. And it's just crazy because usually when you go into ketosis, which is high protein and high fat, that's where you start burning fat. And mm-hmm. I get it. You can't lose a bunch of fat in a week. Mm-hmm. But it also, when you're in ketosis, it helps with bloating because you are losing a lot of water retention as well because you don't have any carbs in your system. So mm-hmm. this just does not make sense to me.
No.
The amount of sugar that would be given to me daily during the cabbage soup diet. And also the protein is like once a week.
Yeah.
What?
It's all sugar and all like vegetables. There's no fat. There's no protein.
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I just remember when I finished it, I think I got to day 6 because I ate the protein.
Yeah.
I don't remember eating the rice, but I did lose the 10 pounds. And then I remember just going back to my usual weight.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. And it just sounds terrible. Back. But
how did you feel when you were on it?
I was dreaming about cabbage soup. I was literally dreaming cabbage soup.
You mean like nightmare dreams?
Or? Nightmare dreams. I know. And then I also started dreaming about, you know, when you're restricting yourself like this, eating, it's just crazy diet. You start dreaming about food. So I don't remember feeling good. And I still remember, like, I'm picturing right now the damn cabbage soup in my head and what it looked like in the pot and where I was living at the time. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible, but I lost the 10 pounds. So I was like, yeah. And then I gained it right back. Did you say you had another crazy thing you did?
Yeah. So this was a trend that was going on, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, but the celery juice thing. Did you ever hear about this?
No, but I've heard about the juicing diet, which is so stupid.
No, this is specifically celery juice. And the way the diet works is you have to juice the celery yourself, which, let me tell you, it takes a lot of celery to make a little bit of juice.
Yeah.
And so I would get like bundles and bundles of celery. And then I had a juicer and I would juice them. And then the celery trend was you drink a giant glass of celery juice first thing in the morning. And then you kind of just like don't eat for a really long time during the day. And then you finally eat again like normal. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for probably, I don't know, a few months. And I don't know, I probably bought thousands of bundles of celery because it takes so much celery to make a small amount of celery juice.
But what was the goal of this juicing project?
I don't know. I think it was supposed to be like a detox or something, like a daily detox thing, which, I mean, celery is reasonably low in sugar. It's probably not as bad as if I was drinking like melon juice or something.
Okay.
But yeah, it was not. It just wasn't sustainable mostly because it was so much work to juice all the freaking celery.
So how many pieces of celery did you need just to make one juice?
From what I remember, I believe it was like 3 bundles of celery.
Oh my goodness.
So it was a lot of celery.
And you did this for how long?
I think a few months.
But you could still eat food. It wasn't just celery. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
No, it wasn't just celery. No. No, it was just starting the day specifically with celery juice.
So did it make a difference for you?
No.
Do you miss your celery juice?
Absolutely not.
And this applies for people that don't have an understanding of what of how their body functions. Because if you know what feels good for you, you're not just gonna go and hop on a trend or eat something that maybe your favorite influencer or someone that you follow is doing. Because if you feel good with what you're eating, there's no need to hop on these crazy trends that happen every other 5 months or more like a year. But yeah, it's so true. There's just so many things out there and the misinformation. And it's not necessarily misinformation, because what works for you does not mean that it works for everyone, but it can work for you. So I do appreciate that people go online and they speak about their experience with certain foods. But when you're forcing it down people's throats, just like I used to follow this girl, and then she was getting way too crazy for me, but she's like the egg and steak girl, or butter, egg and steak girl. All she does is eat eggs, butter, and steak. And she's just like, she is in a way pushing it down people's throat that they need to eat like this, the carnivore diet. And I think that is so unhealthy. And you find someone that's vulnerable or easily manipulated and they go and try this, and what if it doesn't work for them? So there needs to be a fine line between forcing your ideology and the way you eat down people's throats and just letting people know about things you experiment with and put that online. I mean, that's what I try to do with my content. I never tell people, you need to do this. This is what's going to make you lose weight. Test it for yourself. If it feels good, if you start seeing your life or your skin better, or you start to feel less bloated, like, track your progress, write it down, document it. And that is the only way you're really going to understand what diet suits you best. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Sylvia and I, and leave a comment below. Let us know any crazy diet you've experienced yourself. And if it's crazier than the cabbage soup diet or the celery juicing diet, we want to know, and we're here for it.